98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Poof! 26 years of labor peace up in smoke. There has never been a sport that can make you shake your head more than Major League Baseball. Now, in the Valley, this lockout is serious business, or lack thereof, threatening the entire Cactus League operations in 2022. It is also a very dangerous move for a sport already waning in popularity, a sport that cannot afford to give one more fan one more reason to bail. So what are they arguing over? Who cares? It's billionaires versus millionaires, and neither side will get any benefit of the doubt or any hint of public support, especially after clubs doled out $1.7 billion in contracts in November. Now, we've seen this movie before, but what's different is the prominence of social media in 2021, and it will be easier than ever for tension, anger, and conflict to rise, and it's already getting petty. Major League Baseball actually scrubbed all pictures of actual baseball players from their official website. Ooh, that'll show them. Now, there was a time when this country revolved around baseball, horse racing, and heavyweight boxing. Two of those sports are shells of their former selves, and if baseball is dumb enough to actually miss games after pissing off people in a pandemic, there is a chance that very few are going to miss them. And the next time you see Major League Baseball, well, it might be in the graveyard. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
You know, Bick, I kind of thought something was up, and I did. It didn't even register until you said that little note about MLB.com.
Yeah.
I went to MLB.com. They have a note up, a note about our website content. You may notice that the content on this site looks a little different than usual. The reason for this is because the collective bargaining agreement between players and the league expired just before midnight on December 1st, and a new CBA is currently being negotiated between the owners and the MLBPA. Until a new agreement is reached, there will be a limitation on the type of content we display. As a result, you will see a lot more content that focuses on the game's rich history. Once a new agreement is reached, the up-to-the-minute news and analysis you have come to expect will continue as usual.
They also removed the profile pictures of all the players.
Yeah, which was in his blast.
That's what I just said, Jarrett.
Yeah. But think about the site.
Reiterating it because he's looking at those.
You weren't reiterating anything.
Think about the site editor who makes.
Reiterate this.
Okay. I guess we'll all point out when people repeat stuff on the show from now on then.
Sarah, you're making a really good point. Continue, please.
Think about the website editor who had to put that up, and they make $38,000 a year or whatever, and they're paid by Major League Baseball too.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably they're impacted by this lockout as well.
Yeah. Yeah, look, and
sucks.
And if this thing really goes to Flag Day, as one agent was advising his clients, that's the end of the Cactus League. They didn't see this coming. And as Jared pointed out, this was a subject during the pandemic, and they're just self-fulfilling
it's still
idiots.
Pandemic.
As Jared pointed out, they removed the photos of the players from the website.
Huh?
Wait a minute. They just they did what?
Pointed out.
I just looked up Nick Ahmed's bio page on dbacks.com, and damn it, I can't see what the man looks like.
He's just all gray.
Right, there's just a bunch of lights.
Yeah. Don't look at his batting stats. There's nothing there either.
But
it's neither here nor there.
He hit 221
cool
last year.
No, but that's the thing that most frustrates me, and I'm just like I think all of us, not as big a baseball fan as I used to be.
Yeah.
But we just went through a mini version of this in the 2020 season about just the arguing between both sides and the pettiness on coming back.
Yeah.
And everything got delayed and the season got shorter and shorter and shorter and they were fighting over money.
And Blake Snell and that comment that he made about, look, it's, again, neither side is going to emerge from this. If this thing goes and this thing lingers and people are really affected like Cactus League, that's when people in Arizona love baseball. You take that away over this, There's going to be people ticked off. I really don't understand why baseball doesn't get that losing people like me, and to a lesser degree you, is an issue. People who once loved Major League Baseball are fleeing. What do you? And you have no fan base in the pipeline. Yeah, it's
look
what a joke.
I shared my experience with you, and I kicked myself for a long time for not going to fall league games. I went to four of them this year.
You did?
Paid to go to four of them, and it's what a bargain! $9 to get in. Drink your beer before you get there, though.
Right.
And I enjoyed the experience, but that's one of the takeaways I had. And yes, the games were at 12:35 or whatever time they started. So you look around the stadium and, you know, it felt good for me and my white beard to be the youngest person in the ballpark that wasn't playing in the game. So your point about fans in the pipeline. Now, I've got two kids and I use them as a gauge in this, and they both enjoy baseball still. But they're not the majority in their respective age groups. A 16-year-old and a 25-year-old that like baseball?
Mm-hmm.
They're anomalies.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody during Thanksgiving asked my 12-year-old, hey, Cole, do you like baseball? He started laughing. He said, the only reason I played baseball was for the free hot dog and candy bar afterwards.
Which is a good reason.
Well, it is a good reason.
I thought his response was going to be, what did you just say to me?
Right, 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 right.
Do I like what?
Do I like what? So, and again, this is just, they can't be doing this now. The sport is in such a tenuous, and the seam heads always, baseball will have one good week, like the Field of Dreams game. They'll have
fantastic.
They'll have one moment, they'll go, see all those people who are proclaiming the end of baseball, they're idiots!
Right. Right. And yeah. the Dodgers-Giants, like,
yeah,
matchup.
Right.
That was
right.
Like, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very unmemorable World Series.
Yeah,
it was.
We've pointed out several times
teams.
That all the MVP finalists, all six of them, none of them made the playoffs.
Yes.
So there was no star power in the play. It's just...
Look, the reality of this situation now with the lockout hitting, obviously in early December, is you got some time. Now, nobody has any faith that these two sides can come together and actually have productive talks, but you have to hearken back to the last time there was a labor stoppage. 1994-95, they canceled the World Series that year,
yeah.
And they survived it. Jeff Passan of ESPN says they definitely don't want a repeat of that era.
While very few people from the game back then are still around now, if that's not resonating through the minds of the people at the top of Major League Baseball and at the top of the Major League Baseball Players Association, they need to reassess their priorities. If you start losing games, you're going to start losing fans. If you start losing fans, then you have lost your soul. And that's what Major League Baseball needs to recognize is at stake here. That's what the union needs to recognize is at stake. And I think ultimately they will strike a deal because they are not going to cut off their noses to spite their faces.
See, I trust Jeff Passan inherently when it comes to all things baseball, but that last statement I can't get on board with either.
No.
They've cut their nose off despite their face plenty of times.
And here's the other thing. It's going to be very, very hard for both sides to kind of like stay silent in their solidarity because of social media. You can see players. I can very easily envision players sniping at players.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff going on. And all it takes is one wrong comment, right? Wars have been started over less.
And we saw that in the 2020 negotiations last year, where so much of the, you know, discussions were happening over social media. And it was people just sniping over Twitter rather than actually talking to each other.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. It's going to be rainy. What does that mean for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday in Chicago? We'll get into it and more next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Oh, it's the Thursday edition. Bickley and Murata Mornings, thanks for tuning in. We're coming to you live from the Ochsin Community Studios. Cardinals back on the practice field yesterday, as we hoped for. The injury list was a lot shorter than it was before the bye. There was still some key members, not full participants. And obviously, you look at the quarterback, and the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins were both out there yesterday. They were both limited participants. Kyler Murray actually spoke to the media, and was asked questions about whether or not he'll play, if he feels confident in playing on Sunday.
Confident you're going to play Sunday?
Hopeful, yeah.
Hopeful.
Yeah.
Isaiah Simmons is hopeful that Cliff Kingsbury doesn't go to Oklahoma.
Right.
Lots of hope. And look, the vagaries continue. We'll get more clarification at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning when the Cardinals are getting ready for kickoff with the Bears. But
yeah, I think we'll have a clear picture by Friday. I think he will be practicing if he is playing, and I think we'll know. I don't think this is going to be a game time decision. I'm just curious about that response. It's not what you expected to hear. I feel really good. I think this might be the week.
Now, he did. Was asked specifically about how the ankle feels.
How does your ankle feel right now? Are you close to 100%?
I don't know about the percentages. I feel good, though.
Okay.
I don't know about percentages.
I fully, fully believed that after the bye, this talk would be over. Mm-hmm. And I get, both injuries were probably way more severe than the Cardinals initially let on. Cliff Kingsbury on the DeAndre Hopkins front. All right, let's say DeAndre Hopkins is not 100%, going back to percentages. Let's say he's 80. Kingsbury was asked, DeAndre Hopkins at 80%, compare that to the rest of the league.
I mean, I think pretty good. I mean, he was out there against Green Bay running around on one leg making catches. So I think he's a special talent, and if he can go, he'll give us what he's got.
Yeah, I wonder internally, because we'd never get it publicly, I wonder if there's much in terms of regret by the team and DeAndre Hopkins for his insistence on playing that Green Bay game. Now, he did make the one impactful play, the touchdown that got called back. But you remember in that game, Bick, late in the game when the Cardinals' offense was floundering, they're trying to get back in, DeAndre mm-hmm. Hopkins was just kind of making his own rules and went back on the field and played some snaps.
Yeah.
Wonder if he regrets it. I wonder if the Cardinals regret the way they handled it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, it's something where there was a time when I thought DeAndre Hopkins was going to be back sooner rather than later, and that hasn't been the case here. I wonder, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if Kyler Murray still feels lingering issues in that ankle, and I wonder if they're just kind of doing the calculus. Okay, Colt McCoy, can we go to that well one more time? Is there one more victory in the Colt McCoy well? You can see it happening. I mean, that's the way you're probably going to have to win this game anyways. If it's windy and rainy and cold, you're probably going to have to do the dinking and dunking ball control thing, and he does that very well. He's obviously plays in inclement weather fairly well.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, and that's unavoidable. As the forecast is out there, it's going to be those things in Chicago, and you expect that when the schedule comes out and you see you got to go December 5th to take on the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, that you're going to deal with it. Now, how does it tie in with the availability of those two players, Cliff Kingsbury, on whether or not the weather conditions will help make a decision on DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't think weather as much as just the time he's been off task. We just got to be smart with how we use him if he's able to go. Maximize him as best we can, but make sure we don't wear him out.
All right, so there's that. Weather won't factor into it. Kyler Murray himself, he was asked about the weather, how much he's had to deal with it before.
I've played in my fair share of cold games, but I mean, I'm not looking. I would hope it's not raining. We can deal with the cold.
You can deal with the cold. He's exactly right. Nobody wants to play in the rain,
yeah.
Especially a quarterback with smaller hands. You don't want to play in the rain if you have any designs on throwing the ball. Cliff Kingsbury himself joked around and said, I hope it's not cold. This is not your your perfectly constructed cold weather football team. Not breaking news. It shouldn't be. They play in a dome in Glendale, Arizona. But it's something they got to deal with this week. And, they have proven, without weather being a big factor, Bick, that they can tailor the game plan and what they do operationally from an offensive standpoint to deal with shortcomings. And those shortcomings were personnel related in the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, and that to me, this is a very, very pivotal game in my opinion. There's some real tough games on the way out. There's some pivotal games on the way out, and there's some games you should win on the way out. The Lions and the Bears, I count as games they better win if they really want to make a run for this number one seed. So again, it scares me to underestimate the Bears. It scares me to kind of go, okay, you know what? We can dial back. We can bring out Colt McCoy one more time and do this. I'm not saying they can't, but this is a game they've got to get in their back pocket. And I really hope they're vibing on this road record deal as something they're not going to let out of their grasp. In the other conference, the New England Patriots are also unbeaten on the road, and they've got the Buffalo Bills this week in Buffalo. So they're going to be really tested on Monday Night Football, that road record of theirs. I would like the Cardinals to not be nearly tested enough. Because, again, when you think about this, too, you think about Kyler Murray, even if he does return on Sunday, is he going to hit the ground running? And I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively. Will he be rusty? I don't know.
But also literally.
Right, right, exactly.
Look, we can say unequivocally, this is the first time he's coming back from missing any time as an NFL starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it happened to a smaller degree in the L.A. game last year, but that was in-game where he tried to get back on the field. This is a long layoff. 3 weeks is a long, long layoff.
4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks, including the bye. And he was asked about, you know, picking things up from the sidelines, if that happened while he was away.
I think it can definitely help, you know, watching from the sideline, kind of relaxing, you know, getting a different perspective of the game, not necessarily making it as crucial as we do, you know, in a sense. But, you know, I think when you're back there playing quarterback, a lot of things, there's a lot of moving parts. You know, things are moving faster than, you know, they may seem. And then, you know, watching it from the sidelines, just like it's kind of everything slowed down and you see it as for what it is. And, I definitely think I got, you know, I took some away from it for sure.
Yeah, and that's fighting off the initial, hey, I really want to be out there. Kyler Murray said during his absence, I hate not playing.
Uh-huh.
I don't like being on the sidelines. But at a certain point, you have to use it to your advantage. Use the different vantage point that you have to help you once you get back on the field. We'll see how that happens.
All right, I found the Bears story that I referenced earlier, and this is under the context that these trips to Soldier Field have always been memorable for the Cardinals in one way or another. We talked about the David Johnson game where his cleats were sent to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
He housed the opening kickoff.
Sure.
They went there with Ken Wisenhunt and Kurt Warner's team. They blew out the Bears, but that day, Anquan Boldin, he had an ankle injury. He warmed up and he declared himself ready. He went into the locker room and saw that the Cardinals had taken his stuff out of his locker. So Ken Wisenhunt decided, you're not playing, as Anquan Boldin was warming up saying, I can play. And then afterwards, I remember the Cardinals won in a stunningly easy triumph, and Q was afterwards just really ticked off. And you know what I mean? So these trips to Chicago, for whatever reason, always bring a little bit of weirdness with them.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, Anquan Boldin not 100% happy after a big win.
Seen that before.
That happened a couple times.
We've seen that before. Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll get a closer look at the Chicago Bears. We'll be joined by Mike Mulligan from 670 The Score in Chicago next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Yeah, Cardinals and Bears Sunday, Soldier Fields. Cardinals try to improve on their NFL best 9-2 record. Here to talk about things from the Chicago perspective, from 670 The Score in Chicago. He's a co-host of the Mully and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Mike Mulligan, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Mike, good morning to you, sir.
Vince, good morning. And Dan, my God, good life to you, sir. Did you know, Vince? I think is it the Hindus or the Buddhists? Somebody, they believe there are 50 men working behind the scenes for the good of humanity. I'm convinced that Dan is one of them.
Wow. That's the most glowing.
Mully, you are the best.
The most glowing compliment I've heard in all my years of working with Bick. Mike, I gotta say this
so
before
ridiculous.
We get started. We recently made the transition from middays to morning, so our show starts at 6 a.m. I felt better about my life quality when I looked up your show on 670 The Score. You guys start at 5 a.m. That's just cruel and unusual, man.
Yeah, it's a bit rough, but, you know, it's so predictable in Chicago. Today we had it's Marcus Day, right? You got Notre Dame hiring Marcus Freeman. You got Marcus Stroman signing with the Cubs. And we start the show and we got three Bears calls.
You know? Of course. Chicago, of course. What has the season been like in the context of this Sunday's game? Because there's been a lot of noise about the Bears and that head coach and the quarterback situation. What has this been like?
I got to tell you, Dan, I mean, and you are from here and you know, growing up here, I've never seen a guy get a worse ride than Matt Nagy. You know, it's extraordinary how this thing has deteriorated. And it's been, when we look back on this season, it's been unbelievable. But, like, they lost to Baltimore in the last seconds of the game, and the crowd at Soldier Field is chanting, "Fire Nagy, fire Nagy." The Bulls play, and the crowd starts chanting, "Fire Nagy, fire Nagy." The Blackhawks are playing, "Fire Nagy." Poor Matt Nagy's son is playing a high school football game.
Yes.
"Fire Nagy."
Oh, no.
To me, the topper is Illinois at Champaign playing Notre Dame, and Brian Kelly has left. The crowd starts chanting, "Hire Nagy." For Irish football to be ruined.
That is great.
All right, so a follow-up on that, and being in Chicago as long as you've been and in tune with everything that's gone on, where would you place Matt Nagy on the all-time hit list among Chicago sports fans in terms of unpopularity?
Well, he's very unpopular right now, and I think we have social media and we have a lot going on that was never out there before. And I think the problem has been, you know, he has sort of these word salad answers sometimes when he's asked a question, and he's just a positive person. He's actually a really good guy, but his response isn't so much football coach as it is kind of like, you know, gosh, wouldn't it be great if, like, we got on a streak and we started, you know, winning games, and then we won a bunch of games, and then we played the lottery and we won $100 million, and then we went out and signed another play. It's just like, oh, my God, what is this guy saying? There's nothing coherent. And it's, you know, the offense has been extraordinarily bad since he arrived. They hired this guy because he was the Andy Reid School of Football. He was going to come in. He was going to put healing hands on Mitchell Trubisky, and they can't score touchdowns. They don't score. They cannot score touchdowns, and they haven't for years. He was coach of the year in 2018. In 2019, he lost four consecutive games. In 2020, he lost six consecutive games. This year already, he's lost five consecutive games. And you know, they finally break out of it by beating the Lions in one of the worst, grindiest, horrible football games I've ever seen. So I don't know what to make of them. And, you know, nobody wants this to continue and no one wants to watch it. But they're, you know, he was asked about it, like, hey, you're only one game out of the playoffs, technically, even though there were seven teams ahead of you. And the Bears are like 14th in the NFC, and he did his whole, like, it's, if you're a competitor, I mean, it's just extraordinary that you got a chance. Like, you don't have a chance. Four teams, four wins, wow. And two of them against Detroit.
Yeah. The end of that Lions game. The end of that Lions game was just comedy genius, and the sight of Matt Nagy and that Lions coach rushing to call dueling timeouts at the end. That was just that game lived up to everything that it was supposed to be, in my opinion. Whatever happened to that report of Matt Nagy getting fired? Was that completely off the wall erroneous?
Well, it was. You know, it was Mark Conkle who won a Pulitzer Prize at the Sun Times. So he had a report. Somebody obviously told him something. He's working for Patch, I think it's called. It's like a suburban newspaper group. So when a guy who's won a Pulitzer puts that out, yeah. I think everybody kind of sits up. But it was totally standard Bears fare. You know, they basically hide in the bunker. They don't respond. Matt Nagy comes out. If you've ever seen a man try to hide behind a baseball cap or a whatever the heck he was wearing, I mean, I've never seen the guy looked. He basically said that it's inaccurate, and then he could not give anyone a guarantee that he would finish the year. The Bears have never fired a coach in season, And so the word was that they were going to fire this guy come Thanksgiving, win or lose. And then George McCaskey spoke to the team before they went to Detroit and told them on Wednesday that there was that wasn't true, that it was a made-up story. There's still a feeling around here that they had planned to do it, but they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Wow.
And then they kind of shifted what they were saying.
Wow.
The difference this year is that there is a new rule that you can actually interview coaches in the last couple weeks of the season if you have an opening. So therefore, the thinking is they could actually fire a coach in season if they want to get a head start on the next guy. The problem is we don't know how many guys they're going to fire. We don't know if they're going to get rid of the general manager. He literally, I believe he's moved to Sweden and is living under an assumed name. This guy is nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. And he's been here 7 years.
Wow.
And like, you know, blown draft picks and wasted money. It's just, it's extraordinary what's going on here.
Mike Mulligan, 670, The Score in Chicago, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. In terms of the quarterback position, it seems like a weekly soap opera as well. Justin Fields limited yesterday. Andy Dalton limited every week, basically. But what does your gut say on who we see at quarterback on Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be, I think today will tell the tale. You know, it was really interesting to me. I think Fields will want to play. I think he's a very tough kid. And I think that, Matt Nagy, there's a certain kind of irony to the whole thing. His best bet on keeping his job, far-fetched as it may seem, would be playing Justin Fields and watching him improve. And he had a really good second half in a game against the Steelers. And then, you know, they end up having a bye week. They lost the game, obviously, but they had a bye week. And so he kind of lost some momentum, and then he gets hurt with this rib injury in the first half against Baltimore. So he wasn't able to play. They played Baltimore on Sunday, and then they played the Thursday for Thanksgiving. So then they found out he does have some cracks in his ribs. They don't know how long they've been there or what that means. There's nothing on the X-ray, nothing on a CAT scan, but they did an MRI because he was still feeling pain, and they noticed some of these cracks. So cracked ribs, different. You know, didn't Gronk miss like 3 weeks? So,
yeah.
You know, it's very difficult to tell. I think if he can practice today, the best thing would be starting him. But Matt Nagy, like, all he cares about is his scheme. He can really open up his playbook with the red, I think we're calling him the red squirt gun these days. It's not a rifle.
Mully, it is so great to hear your voice, man. You and I have got so much history together. I miss you terribly, brother. You be well, man.
All right, buddy. God bless you. Vince, I envy you working with that man.
Again, first time I've ever heard that.
Come on. You can hear the sarcasm dripping out of his voice.
Mike, thanks
so
much. Mike Mulligan, 670, The Score in Chicago, joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coming up next, the Bears are the opponent. The Bears are also the subject of our Mock My World next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, Mock My World.
Stop mocking me!
Brought to you by V's Barbershop.
Mock My World is a little game we play among the four of us on Thursdays, Wednesday last week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. It's a four-round draft depending on some sort of themed subject. Last week, our subject was Arizona sports figures that you'd like to spend Thanksgiving with. And Sarah Cazell, almost 1,300 votes cast.
Wow.
Her get-together of Charles Barkley, Diana Taurasi, Richard Jefferson, and Frank Caliendo. One going away. I finished second with 35%. Jarrett's third, 13%. Somehow, Bick, you only got 6.7% of the vote.
There's a weird... it was one of my worst performances ever.
There's a weird glitch in the voting, though. I mean, you didn't help yourself by inviting weirdos at Granky.
At that point in time, I was just, I was flying the white flag.
I do think that got away, kind of fun, though.
Yeah, that got away from me early, and yeah, that was a terrible performance on my behalf. So what are we doing this week, Jarrett?
What are we doing this week, Jarrett?
Your favorite, well, the Cardinals, of course, going to Chicago to play the Bears. So we're drafting our favorite Bears.
Okay.
Real or fictional person or cartoon or actual bear.
Okay.
However you want to decide it.
Are members of the Chicago Bears in that category or no?
Correct, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Chicago Bears, California Bears, Baylor Bears.
Okay.
We get it.
Okay.
Give out more possibilities.
We get it.
I'm answering this question.
Bick will have the first vote, pick, and Jarrett second. I'll go third. Sarah fourth, based on last week's results, reverse order, four-round snake-style draft. You've got the first bear off the board.
Yeah, and I'm glad I've got the first pick, because as my favorite football player ever, a guy who inspired me to no end, Walter Payton, Sweetness.
No surprise there.
Is off the board.
They call him Sweetness, but he likes to
dance. Yeah.
All right, Jarrett, number 34 is off the board.
Okay, well, I have to go with perhaps the most famous of the fictional bears. The man, not the man, the bear who is smarter than the average bear. Hey, boo boo. Yogi Bear.
I would argue he's not the most famous fictional bear.
You could argue.
Yeah.
All day long on that.
And you know, Walter Payton had a son named Jarrett. Shut up, Jarrett.
And he had a daughter named Brittany. Just my sister's name, and both Jarrett and Brittany spelled the same as us.
Wow. On purpose?
On purpose. I think we're about the same ages, too.
So who's gone? Yogi Bear.
Walter Payton, Yogi Bear gone. I'll make my counter argument by picking who I think is the most famous fictional bear of all time. And the purveyor of my favorite clothing style. Shirt and no pants.
Oh, boy.
Winnie the Pooh.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's a visual right there. All right. Cool.
Sarah, you got two picks now.
Yes, I do. I am going to take a fictional bear first.
Okay.
Waka waka.
Oh, a little.
I'm taking Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie action.
From the Muppets.
All right.
And then I am
Jared's
going.
Favorite comedian.
To take. That's right.
I always liked Fozzie. Yeah.
I'm going to take a bear of the UCLA Bruin type, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Lou Alcindor back in the day.
Kareem. I see. Going
to
Bruin.
Stretch. Yeah, that's a good flex.
Maybe the only possible way Fozzie and Kareem could ever end up on the same Mock My World team.
We did it.
All right, back to me with the second round pick. I'm going with one of the most fearsome linebackers ever, Dick Butkus.
Oh, love that guy.
Dick Butkus, star of My Two Dads.
What? He was in that?
He was in that show, yeah.
Well, I don't remember that. I know Paul Reiser was.
Yeah.
And some other guy.
Greg Evigan.
He looked a little bit like George Michael, that guy. All right. I am going to go with my personal favorite candy. Gummy bears.
That's a good
one. Oh, good call.
That is a good one.
We're drafting our favorite bears.
All right, Bick, you have your second and third round picks.
I will take Smokey the Bear, because only you can prevent forest fires.
That's right.
And I will select former Alabama coach Bear Bryant.
I thought that was going to fall to me.
Did you really like him, though? No, I'm just trying.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Man.
He was kind of mean to Forrest Gump.
He was good to Bruce Arians.
Jenny was, too, though.
Jenny was
manipulative as hell.
She was really horrible to Forrest Gump.
You know what? That's one of the most detestable movie characters of all time. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, Jenny?
Yeah.
She went through a lot. She was finding herself. And eventually, when she had an incurable, horrible disease and needed to be taken care of by a rich person, she found her old love.
Like I said, manipulative as hell.
She went through a lot, but yeah. She didn't have to treat Forrest like that.
All right, I am going to go.
Gump, have a backbone, would you?
I am going to go. Boy, it's between a few here. I'm going to go with, from The Jungle Book, Baloo.
He's great, bear.
Look for the bear necessity.
How do you the Bill Murray character of Baloo is fabulous.
How do you spell
that?
B-A-L-O-O.
B-A-L-O-O? That's right. Okay. Never knew how to spell that one.
Now you know.
Favorite bears. Fictional, real. What am I going to go with here? I'm going to go with... If Bruins are eligible, that means Cubs are eligible too, correct?
I suppose.
Yes.
Okay. Who do I pick from the Cubs?
From the Cub.
I'll go Harry Carey.
Harry Carey. Oh. That's a stretch, but okay.
That's, yeah.
No? We're not
No, but you're right. If we allow Bruins, we've got to allow Cubs. It just, but it's, now we're really far away from Bears,
and he wasn't even
which is the point.
He wasn't even a Cub. He was an announcer for the Cubs, but yes.
Well, Dick Butkus wasn't really a Bear. He was a guy who wore a Bear uniform.
No, but he was a Bear. He was a Chicago Bear.
Right, he was a Chicago Bear.
Anyway.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
I'm not.
I got gummy
anyway.
Bears. I don't need to worry about all of you other.
Sarah, you got two picks.
Yes. Okay. I am going to take the man who is known for drinking his own urine.
Harry Carey's already off the board.
Oh, my gosh.
Well done.
Have a nice cold bud or two or more.
Taking Bear Grylls.
Ugh. Yeah, he does do that.
Yeah. And then for my final pick, I will take Mike Ditka.
Ditka. The coach. Bears.
Ooh, Mike Ditka is off the board. At this point, I don't care. After my controversial Harry Carey pick, I'm going to pay tribute to one of the favorite Bears in the sports movie realm, the Bad News Bears.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
And I'm going to go.
I didn't even think of that one.
With their original coach, Morris Buttermaker.
You're going to get Gambo's vote with that one, for sure.
What does that pick mean for Bick, Jarrett, and Sarah? It means bad news for Bick, Jarrett, and Sarah!
Wow. Oh, boy.
One of us needs to answer that. You can answer it yourself. All right, my last...
I didn't know if you were paying attention or not.
My last pick.
Did you know MLB.com? I'm just kidding. Please don't spit your water, Bick.
I'm going to go with Paddington Bear, the British bear who loves marmalade.
Paddington Bear. All right, Paddington's off the board. You got an interesting team, Jarrett.
Thank you.
No sports figures.
Yeah. I know.
Bick, you got the last pick.
Give me, even though the iconic teddy bear sounds like a good play, put me down for Papa Bear, George Halas.
Papa Bear.
Didn't he just pass?
A while ago.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different house.
All right.
Nobody picked any real bears, like a grizzly bear, a polar bear, a panda bear.
How do you pick?
That's true, I guess.
Do you have a favorite bear?
No, I love them all.
And this is why we didn't draft real bears.
Right. Nobody picked Teddy Rupskin?
Oh.
The Berenstain Bears?
Teddy who?
The three bears from Goldilocks.
Is it Ruxpin or Rupskin?
Oh, boy. Rumpelstiltskin or Rumpelstiltskin?
Rapunzel? Vic, I'm surprised you didn't take the golden bear, Jack Nicklaus.
Oh.
Snap.
See what happens to all of us when we start our research on this subject 3 minutes before the segment starts? Vic's got Walter Payton, Smokey
Bear. George Halas, the recently deceased... in 1983, George Halas.
Oh, was it his son then?
You know what?
A. Halas just passed.
We should probably...
Like 2 weeks ago.
We should probably, as a show, pull some money and send some flowers. Walter Payton is on Bick's team along with Smokey Bear, Bear Bryant, and Papa Bear. Jarrett went Yogi Bear, Gummy Bears, Baloo, and Paddington. I got Winnie the Pooh, Dick Butkus, Harry Carey, and Morris Buttermaker. And Sarah's got Fozzie, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the Bruin, Bear Grylls, and Mike Ditka. Best bears, favorite bears, that is the subject of this week's Mock My World. We'll get it up on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata, and you determine the winner. Speaking of @Bickley_Murata, that's where all the fun for social studies goes down, and we'll get into it next with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.